And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes about. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sight. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's grind when the man comes back? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard, and we're going to get right into the message. Part two of our message tonight, then, entitled Genesis Unveiled. Well, we're going to go back to the book of Genesis and try to explain to you the reason that we feel like that man has misinterpreted much of the Genesis factor in factoring in the objectives of the book of Genesis, which was intended to be a broad-brushed, if you will, basis for interpretation. A lot of this interpretation, or misinterpretation for that matter, is purposely done for the art of deception. Many of the translators have carefully inserted words to take away the purpose and meaning of Genesis. Now, we have this to present to you, that there was death before Adam. Now, if that's true, and we're trying to take science into its own field of endeavor of expertise and trying to determine that the earth is much older than the 6,000 years that religion reports it to be. If science is based without religion, it becomes lame. And religion without science is blind. So it takes the two substances of thought to look into the things which are, to establish the fact of the things that are not written. But if all was written that should have been written, even the Word itself couldn't contain the information that can be brought. And that's my dilemma tonight. I've got so much information to lay on you. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is on the air tonight. We're live on the 31st day of July, the last day of the month in the seventh month of the year. So we're live, and tell them that we are on WWCR, the Jewel of the South, the radio station that is the Cadillac of the industry. Ladies and gentlemen, hands down, this radio station goes around the world in more places than any other shortwave radio stations that I know of. So you're on the finest, or listening to the finest, and we're on the finest, bringing it to you, the royal substance of truth that you deserve as a participant in the pursuer of the truth of Genesis Unveiled. Now, 145 million years ago, within the 145 to the 65 million years ago range, we have the age of the dinosaurs. Those dinosaurs, we have an earth that tells us that they died between that range, 65 to 145 million years in the past. Now, what caused them to die? Sin? Well, we don't think so. Because, you see, where there's no law, there's no transgression, and there's no sin recorded. Although men and sin was in the world before Adam, because the animals are one of the truths that we're going to use here to prove to you that there was a world before Adam. Now, remember, I told you in part one, this is part two of Genesis Unveiled. In part one, I told you that Adam, the first book of the Bible, it tells us that Adam was a replenisher of something that had existed prior to his coming into the third dimensional world. So, the first world. Now, I've also told you in part one that the word misinterpreted in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in the English version, the interpretation for the word was wrongly given, and we're not blaming the translators or the translators, as I like to call them, throughout the scripture, because there's many places. It just makes you have to dig up and do your homework, and that's understandable. Now, let me give you verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, let's go back and put the proper word was is Strong's number, 1961. And that word is translatable as became. So the earth became. It was a process of time. Approximately 500 to a billion years, to be exact. And Cretaceous is the age of the dinosaurs. That's the age that we are talking about here. And the name is derived from the Latin word for chalk, meaning when they went to the Cretaceous period of time to look at the stratosphere and to dig in the rocks and to examine the bone fragments of these giant reptiles that roamed the earth between, they say, 65 to 145 million years ago. What killed them? You see, death came in through Adam. If something existed before Adam, then there was no death unless there was a recorded event of chaos that we can read about in the Bible. Now, the Word was, the earth word is Strong's number 776. You can read that. And it became, and it's Strong's number 1961, became dark and void. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Now, the Jurassic era was 145 to 213 million years ago, and named after the Jura Mountains between France and Switzerland. So when they went in to examine the age of the rocks, and this is where the geologists go back and determine through science. And remember, religion without science is blind. And so most blind sheep, religious blind sheep, Jacob Israel in particular, go back and use the justification of blindness for their ignorance. And ignorance is no excuse of the law. You cannot claim ignorance. The Bible says that there was a time when God winked at ignorance. That when the Messiah was revealed for the atonement, now is called on all men to repent. Now, the manner of sin was in the form of offenses against nature before Adam's sin. Now, remember, let me give that to you again. The manner of sin was in the form of offense against nature, violations of natural law. And all died a natural death. It was not until God imposed moral law with Adam, the first to be subject to it, that men were capable of legal sin or trespasses or transgressions against God's law. It began with Adam's fall, and human beings died both a natural death, and then they were held responsible and died a legal or spiritual death. You see the two? Paul states in Romans 5 and 12 that all sinned in Adam. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, remember this legal death or spiritual death is what he's talking about, and so death spread to all men because all had sinned. Paul seems to be equating the because all sinned with through one man sin entered into the world. Now, let me give you the second understanding here. In verses 13 and 14, Paul adds a clarification which confirms that he does indeed have the imputation of Adam's sin in view in the phrase because all sinned. Rather than our individual sins, he states, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, now get this, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. In other words, Paul concedes that personal sin was prevalent in the world before Moses. Until the law, sin was in the world. Now, you got that? But he adds that these personal sins were not the ultimate reason people died in that time period, as well as the animals. But sin is not imputed, for there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So that ought to give you some indication that the age of the Jurassic era, 213 million years or more, back into a time when Earth holds beneath the very feet of men that today trod on the Earth. The rocks cry out to give justice and understanding to those who lived before Adam. Now, the Bible said, and I repeated this in part one, there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. And that which is now is required in the future. We have to give an account, even for every idle word that we speak in relationship to our sins. Now let's go to the world that then was, that ended, and why Yahweh made a new world and man in it. It requires a study into the ancient origins of Satan and the angels, and I've talked about that extensively in part one of Genesis Unveiled. Now, the English word for world and earth are different words and have distinct separate conceptual meanings in the Holy Bible of the English language. These meanings are defined by the scriptures when used in context, understanding that the difference in distinction is crucial to rightly dividing the word of truth, and rightly dividing is a chore for every serious Bible student that studies in the Word, for therein is found one of the keys to unlocking the paradox of the creation account of Genesis chapter 1 and the geologic evidence of the ancient earth. The biblical timeline outlines the different worlds of the earth across past, present, and future history. So in the book of Hebrews, it is noted by Paul as he was writing that the Messiah is said to be the maker of the worlds, plural. Now let me repeat that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, the Word was Yah, the Word was made flesh. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And in Hebrews verse 2 of chapter 1, listen to me, that in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 1 and 2. He didn't make a world. Our present world is a reflection of the past world that creates worlds. We got a world to come now. So the timeline of each world in its own proper frame. Adam was a replenisher of the world that existed before him. He now supplies the world that we live in, and those who have been made worthy will acquire the world to come. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, now listen to me well, in part 2 of Genesis Unveiled, we're taking you to places where other theologians dare to tread. And the angels, ladies and gentlemen, we know that the angels gets mad. Well, there's two factions of angels. The good guys were glad, and the bad guys, last Sunday night, when I was revealing what their plan was, Satan, the power, as it's noted in Ephesians chapter 2, Satan is the power of the air. In other words, he has control of the airwaves. And so then, he somehow shut down my phone and the two recording instruments and would not let them come back on. That was 10 minutes to go on last Sunday night's broadcast. And for you that wonder what happened, I would like to give you a brief explanation. Satan literally, when I was about to reveal what his plans was for the rapture theory, people that are holding a rapture theory, that they're going to be taken away from the earth never to return. And I said into never ever land. And that is literally when Satan, the power of the God of the air, shut this preacher down to forbid those that were listening, and maybe there was someone that was listening last Sunday night that won't be able to listen tonight, because we're not promised tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, for faith we understand that the worlds, I want you to understand that Satan corrupted and made dark the world that was first created in light. You see, Yahweh cannot create anything in darkness because there is no darkness in him. Therefore, he is not the author of Genesis 1, verse 2. The Bible says clearly that the world back before Adam became dark and void and desolate, and that the waters covered all of the earth. A great flood, and water is a cleansing agent, fire is a portion. You see, it takes fire to create a vapor, or what we know as steam, or when water boils, it creates a vapor at a temperature of 212. It becomes steam, and that's exactly what the age of the first world was, literally burned up, creating a vast amount of water. The heavens were on fire, and it created a covering for all of the sin of the people that existed before that did not have a Savior to die for them. Just like in Genesis, the Bible says in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis that Yahweh and the good angels came down and caught Satan and the fallen angels, mating with the daughters of men. And it became such an evil age that Yahweh himself, again, flooded. This is a temporary, not the final solution, but was a temporary fix, because the Bible says that Yahweh and his angels, as they came down, and they said, let us see what man is doing. And they found that man was mixing with the angelic beings who had transgressed and came down from heaven to earth. And this being a unforgivable sin, the earth again was plunged into a flood era. This was a temporary fix, like I said now. And the Bible says that when the Messiah came, remember, he went and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah, that he become, that he could become the God of the living and the dead. So then, every world and every world's age had to hear the gospel, the world that existed before our present world, and the world to come is the recipient of those who have been judged righteously for the remission of their sins through water baptism in the name of Yahweh. Now, if we know, as in eon, which means an age or a specific prevailing condition in the time upon the face of the earth, therefore the word world, as doctrinally defined in your Bible, is not referring to other planets in outer space, but to defined ages and prevailing conditions during those ages, past, present, and future. The earth is a planet, a sphere, shape, mass of matter in time and space. And the world is the specific set of conditions prevailing upon the face of the planet at any given time, or a specific point written in biblical time. The earth is part of our present world, past worlds, and the future world to come. It says the righteous shall inherit the earth. Where's these people going to that wants to get out of here? Well, let's look at the rapture theory people and go back and try to make sense of it in biblical application. Well, let's go back to the flood. Was it not the wicked that were taken? And did not Noah and the eight souls, or the seven souls, with him, were they not righteous? Did they not remain to reseed and re-begin the age of Adam? It was a preserving of the race of Adam, that Noah was chosen righteous in his genetics, along with his family, and the wicked were taken away. But remember, Yahweh himself, being merciful, gave those even that were wickedly doing the things that they did in that earth age or that eon of time, going back several thousand years ago, where we just went 165 million years ago into the past to discover that the animals died. Something had to make them die. And we find that the rock that has volcanic ash in the past through tremendous heat and fire, we have found footprints of man embedded in the strata that tells us that we have man existing for millions of years. And Christianity without science believes in the Bible without any interpretation or without any rightly dividing, without science and the aid of science, they become blind and ignorant, fearful and superstitious as they sit in the pews, dumbed down to again commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking out from our present world back to a past world and have a hope for the future world to come. That's three worlds, but it's the same earth, where it's three ages in the same earth. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 23 and 17 in the King James Version says, "It shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth." And in Galatians 1 and chapter 4, it says, "Yahweh, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father." The present evil world. What about the past evil world? There's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. We are just going through what the stupidity of man, in disrespect to our Creator, or even the acknowledgement. You see, sometimes science becomes the sole authority. And they themselves become lame and blind, just like religion takes its lone path to become as blind and lame as sin, and both of these have to be used in common sense. The Bible said, does not nature teach you? Nature has a way of teaching us, but we don't have a way of listening because we believe literally the Bible without any interpretation, literally as it is written, with many of the errors and the translations of the errors that are embedded into the verses of the Bible when men blindly, lazily look to the pulpits of these 501c bell box preachers as they dumb you down and keep you dumb and ignorant to the things of the present. Now, let's go back to Adam's newly created world, the one that we presently are victims of in the latter days. I thought the Bible said in the latter days, men will wax worse and worse. Adam and his relationship with the Creator is not getting any better, ladies and gentlemen. Matter of fact, it is, in fact, getting worse and will continue to do so. But the world that he was in was pristine, and on the surface, it looked great. But under Adam's feet, entombed and hidden in the sedimentary rocks of the planet, was the buried fossil record of the errors of the past. And so Yahweh's material testimony to the truth of the existence of a previous world on the face of the earth, and a long reign of death across ancient ages past, long before the new world of Adam. This material becomes the evidence pointing back to the errors of the past, to be repeated by dumb sheep led astray in the present age, and will be barred and banned from the future world to come. The Bible said that you can go out in the new world. This is Isaiah 66. That it will come to pass from one new moon to the other, and from one Sabbath to the other, you shall go up and worship. And then you, on your way back, will look down at the material evidence of the ashes of the wicked beneath your feet. And ladies and gentlemen, the ashes of the wicked of the past world lays between your feet, or under your feet, and the matter that presses up between your toes is the very material evidence that blind Christianity that has been dumbed down to accept the word of the bellbox preacher and the 501(c) application of the lie, saying all is well, we have no fear, we don't look at anything but the Bible, and they twist it to their own 501(c) agenda, to the Zionist cause of building the third temple in vain, not for Yahweh, but for a Satan who will come as Jesus Christ. Listen to the prophet. Listen to the projection of truth. This is for a time to come. I may be long gone, and hope so, when this all comes down, because it'll be a time of trouble for Jacob's people. When Satan reigns on the earth, knowing that he has but a short time, and that could be 1,000 years or so, because one day is 1,000 years with Yah, and 1,000 years is one day. So when Satan comes, he will sit comfortably, accepted. He'll come in peacefully, ladies and gentlemen. There's not going to be any long-range nuclear destruction of the earth, because when Yahweh comes back himself, the people are going to be lulled to sleep by the false anti-Christ. And the word anti does not necessarily mean what you think it does. If you look it up in your dictionary, anti means instead of. So when the anti-Christ comes, it will be instead of the true Messiah. It will be the face of the false Messiah. Instead of the true, you will receive the evil one who has the face of righteousness, and he will come in just like his ministers as a shining light, and all the people of the earth whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will wonder after and follow after and receive his mark. And that mark is not some material gadget stuck under your fingernail, ladies and gentlemen, although that may be part of the material process of rounding you up and identifying you. I'm not disputing that. But the mark is the ignorance of worshiping a false name. And this false name has now been accepted as the name of God Almighty, or a Savior Creator, known as Jesus Christ. You'll come into the world as Jesus Christ. And the people of the earth who do not know the truth and the true name will worship him whose names are not in the Book of Life with the mark of the name of the true Creator in Bethlehem. And so therefore, in this present earth age, remember this is round two, and at the end of round two, after the reign of Satan, death will flee from those that seek it. and those who have brought confusion, the mighty ones in the beginning that caused the destruction of the first world through Lucifer's sin of rebellion and the leadership and stewardship of failure by bringing one third of the host of the stars of heaven and bringing them down to the material, third dimensional aspect of the world. I want to ask you a question. For those of you who do not believe that there is a real Satan, has to deny that there is a Michael or a Gabriel. Now let me repeat that. For all of you that do not believe that there is a real, bona fide, tangible Satan. They never age, ladies and gentlemen. Now what body do they come? That's explained by Paul as best he could in the writing style that he used in the book of Corinthians about celestial flesh and terrestrial and third dimensional and all of these material matters. But Satan has just as much power. He said, why don't he come? Why don't he show himself? There is a time upon it. He cannot come one day before or one day after his appointment. He'll be right here when he's loosed for the final takeover of planet Earth. The God of this world. Now, I said in part one that there's 240,000 miles of neural threads in the brain. That's enough to stretch from the moon to the earth, or from the earth to the moon. On the micrometer of these threads, there exist 250,000 units of information recorded into your mind as pictograms. So don't tell me that you don't understand this. I'm just a plain old country boy with an eighth grade education. And I'm giving you something that has been hid from scholars and giants of the past. Why? Because Satan is warning you to stay ignorant. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. For this. Now, Peter's talking about those who are ignorant and the ones I just quoted. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth. Now, let me repeat that. This is not a 6,000-year-old earth, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody, a grade school nimwit, would know better by just going out and digging up a fossil bone of the past. The rocks are crying out because those who know want you to stay ignorant of who you are and what your potential is now as opposed to what it was in the past, that you might not make the same dumb mistakes by being dumbed down by those who would seek to keep you from using this magnanimous brain that you have, using only 10% of it or less. Most people operate around 5%. And if you're called a genius, you use maybe 8 or 9. We're still living far below, and that's just 10 in the 10% range. And we call some people geniuses that have an IQ of 235 or 40. For this they are willingly ignorant of, by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth. The earth is old, and notice that there are heavens, not heaven. There are heavens, plural. And there had to be earth, plural, ages out of those heavens and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Are you listening to me, ladies and gentlemen? You remember when darkness was over the face of the deep and water covered the surface? But before the water began to flow, there was an earth in the time of Noah. And before Adam, there was a time when the earth was standing out of the water and in the water. And at the time of darkness, it came upon the earth through the fall of the satanic angels who engaged in warfare to rule planet Earth. And so then, the earth, being under the subjection of darkness, and you ought to know what I'm talking about here tonight, and for thence it came into darkness out of the light and went into darkness. And so this world started out in darkness, and the water covered the earth, and it was desolate. And God said, let the dry land appear, and it was so. And again, we have the infusion of divine organization with Mother Nature and a salvational acceptance being promised to those who would observe Mother Nature and learn from the scientific overflow of the evidence that was presented under our feet in the rocks and in the graves of those who lived long before the 6,000-year reign of the evangelical Christians, as they literally interpretate the word without rightly dividing. But listen to me now. Listen to me well as we continue in 2 Peter 3:5. Whereby the world that then was being over the world, not the earth. The earth didn't perish. The world of that age perished. Being overflowed with water, it perished, it says. Read the scripture. It will enlighten you. If you have any perception of scripture, you will know that the earth did not perish. He didn't say that the earth perished. He said the world perished. And that world is what we're talking about now, the second world age, heading for the third world age, where you will walk on the ashes of the second world ignorance, fearful and superstitious, that love a lie and love to compromise. You better come out from among them, ladies and gentlemen, because the time is coming, and you're listening to Pastor Buddy here tonight telling you the truth. The old world was the first generation of the heavens and the earth. It perished in the flood of waters. The passage of 2 Peter 3 and 5 is not a reference to Noah's flood. Because who today is ignorant of Noah's flood? But many willingly are ignorant of this previous flood, because it speaks of things which happened before the events of the 6 days of Genesis that upsets the theological apple cart. And it becomes too complicated for the simple-minded people that would rather watch a ball game than listen to Pastor Buddy or listen to the altar of television as they worship pleasure for a season, just like they did in the first world it perished. And in the time of those who were disobedient in the second earth age, and coming quickly, the third. These are the generations of the heavens of the earth, when they were created in the day that Yahweh made the earth and the heavens. A present world, ladies and gentlemen, and the whole universe for that matter, is a regeneration of the original creation of God. It's a spiritual scriptural reality that fits the geologic evidence, but not the secular theories of those who would predict or prefer evolution, that we came up from a swamp gas existence or evolved into a monkey swinging from a tree to walk upright. And I would agree most heartily that there's more apes in the world, or those that act like apes, than there is that have a spiritual discernment of the things that happened prior to Genesis 1 and 1. You ever thought about it? God cannot lie. His spiritual principles are universal throughout all of the books in the Bible. And in Romans 5 and 12, it simply states the very fact that it was Adam's atonement, not of this world, as much as it was the world from which he came, to become a new presence in the earth, to subdue it and to conquer it and to rule it, which he will, after a specific amount of time of punishment comes upon those who would not walk in his new law. Because there's coming in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, that third world age. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now remember, in 2 Peter chapter 3 that I just read you about, that the world that was standing in the water and out of that world, or that earth, perished, that age. And we're going to look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and the righteous shall inherit it. You want to go somewhere other than the earth? You know why? You want to run from the wrath that's coming. You're like the ostrich that likes to bury his head in the sand and wait for someone to give you a swift kick in the butt. And that's what Satan's going to do as he comes into the world in the last earth age. He's coming in, and therefore he will rule for a short time. And everyone, now let me repeat this. This is where I really get this binding spirit that is going to bind everyone on one side, and everyone on the other side is going to be free. So it's a black and white issue here. We are going to have a new heaven and a new earth, but it's going to be the same earth that existed before Adam. And Adam's replenisher replacement. You see, Adam existed in world one. Adam two is a replenisher. He's carried over from that other world age into this age to replenish, just like Noah was carried over from that world age into this world age to replenish the house of Adam. Ladies and gentlemen, the consequences of just what I said is so far-reaching and so complex that the integral part of the mechanism of understanding is void in many minds, because it's a spiritual principle. And most people cannot follow after the Spirit. The Jurassic Age, the Cretaceous Age, the Jurassic Age, 248 million years ago, that we had life on this earth. And that life was extinguished through darkness that was over the face of the deep prior to Genesis 1:1. You see, the world became dark. It became a place of torment because Satan brought into being that dragon, that serpent, that sinner before Adam. Because the scriptures clearly say in Romans 5:12 that there was a sinner long before Adam in an ancient world that was here before Adam. Lucifer, Satan, the dragon, the serpent. Death came upon his ancient world when he fell. Long, long before this present world, and the earth's fossil record is the evidence of this truth, preserved by Almighty Yahweh as a physical witness to truth in the ancient rocks. And no wonder, as he said in Matthew 21:42, the stone that the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want the truth comes with a price. You got to love Yahweh more than you love the world. You got to love Yahweh more than you love your wife or your husband or your friends or your neighbors or your daughters or your children. He that puts those things before Yahweh cannot be a disciple and cannot enter the new world to come. Are you ready for the new world? This is part two of Genesis Unveiled. I hope and trust that you enjoyed tonight's message. If you did, you can call Pastor Buddy, post office. Well, you can write me. You can't call the post office, but you should write me at Post Office Box 2284. I'll give that to you first. Just simply address your letters, and I'll send you this four-part series on Genesis Unveiled. Now, you won't get this in your local Bell Box church. You've never heard this preached in a Bell Box 501(c) church. It just ain't fair. Number one, they could be clearly aware of a world before Adam, but they're certainly not going to preach it to you. Because if that is preached to you, it's going to open up a lot of questions that have been kept from you about the earth and its geology that shows a long and ancient track record on this planet long before Adam. Well, you say, well, I've heard it debated that the earth is millions of years old, but the Bible says there's only a 6,000-year history of our present age. That's true. I'm not disputing that. But it means that Genesis and Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis, as he sat for 40 days. Now listen to me carefully now. When Adam was created, Moses came along to declare the law. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. So then, it was a natural sin, a sin of forces of nature that was provoked by Satan as he brought the ancient arts of war, jealousy, envy, spite, and hate. And by obeying Satan, the people begin to fall away from the natural things that were teaching them. And earth became violent and flooded as the poles shifted. And clearly the past will indicate that this happened before and it will happen again. As we go into the earth age of the final climactic Armageddon experience, coming soon to a neighborhood near you. How are you going to escape? The Bible said the righteous are taken from the wrath to come. Well, does that mean that there's going to be a rapture, Pastor Buddy? No, that means by going by the way of the grave. How are they taken? Through persecution, through giving their life away, being thrown in jail, being hunted down as common criminal. When Satan, the dragon, the serpent, the death bringer from the first world, will try again to destroy the second world. And Yahweh will ban him in the climactic Armageddon battle and take him to the deep. And then there will be the third world age of peace and prosperity. And Satan will never be permitted again to show his ugly face on planet Earth. And you'll get to see that little one. It is noted in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah, that when we go out to see where he's incarcerated, that we will all say, is this the guy that did all this to the worlds? And Yahweh will say, yes, this is him. This is who you obeyed. This is who caused you all your hardships. This is the one that came to deceive the very elect. But you'll hear Yahweh say to those who are worthy, enter into the age of an earth without darkness. There'll be no need of those things on the new world coming. If you'd like to be part of that, and if you'd like to have the information on how to be part of that, simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Address your envelope, mail cards to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight on the 31st. But you can call me anytime here. I'm in the office most of the time. If not, we'll take a message through voicemail, and we will call you back on our nickel. So you can call me tonight. Talk to me. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to pledge support, you can either send those tithes and offerings to Pastor Buddy or to Dr. Gary. Let me give you a toll-free number that you can call through business hours to the office and pledge your support. 1-877-289-7439. We appreciate all the tithes and the offerings and the support of you out there in radio land. Praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next Sunday night at 8 o'clock on the Mighty Voice of WWCR around the world with the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you until then, and we'll see you next Sunday night.
Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big drum. Thus is God and thus is Christ. Some opponent, some opponent. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. And measured a hundredweight and 10 pounds. When a man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.